Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, as promo during the last hour, chance to talk Viking football with the head coach standing by to talk to us right now. Sid, say good morning to Mike Zimmer.
Mr. Zimmer, that was a great gift Bud Grant gave you for your birthday. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I happened to stop over there to his house on his 90th birthday, and we had a good conversation. We sat in his living room for a little bit and talked, and then he came up to me. You know, my birthday was a few days later, came up to me and said, hey, I've got this little a present for you. And he sent me a little note, talked about it's an unpolished agate from Lake Superior from his home. He said it's a good luck rock, and he said all coaches need a good luck. So I put it in a frame, had Mary Redmond, my assistant, put it in there, and it looks really nice. It'll be a nice memento from one of the great coaches.
Okay. You set out to improve the team offensively. How do you think you worked that out?
Well, I think we did. I think, you know, we had a really good spring, and a lot of these guys are types of guys that we want to try to get in here. You know, the offensive line, obviously, that was a big area that we needed to fix. Riley Reif, Mike Remmers. You know, we added Pat Elflein. We added Danny Isadora, a guard from Miami. And so we've got a bunch of competition there in the offensive line now. So I think that helps. You know, one of the things we want to do is get a little bit more explosive offensively. And Dalvin Cook is truly, I think he's going to be a big play guy, along with Latavius Murray, who's been one of the top touchdown guys in the league the last couple of years. And then we've added some guys at wide receiver. So, you know, hopefully that all these things can mold together and we can score some more points. You know, I saw the statistics said that when we scored 21 points or more in the last few years, our record is 22-6. So that's going to be the goal, is to try to get up there into the 20s with our scoring.
You have 16 offensive linemen. You're going to Mankato, so you think you've added enough players to improve the offensive line.
Yeah, well, we did give us a good chance with all these different guys that we have in here now. So, you know, some of the guys returning starters like TJ Clemmings, Jeremiah Searles, you know, so I think we have a good group and we just have to continue to improve, and it'll be a lot of good competition. You know, I think competition makes everybody better.
Why is everybody looking for offensive linemen and they're so hard to develop right now in the NFL, Mike?
You know, Mike, it's really difficult. The game is so much different in college football. You know, it's so spread out. The ball comes out of the guy's hands quickly. There's a lot more option involved. The protections are so much different. And they all go from a two-point stance. So it's very different when it gets in the NFL. You know, and that's part of one of the problems with trying to get them to NFL quality linemen, because you know, they don't get the same type of techniques and work in college that they do here. So it ends up really being a crash course for them.
Okay, you can have Bradford from the start. You had him in OPA. You'll have him in Mankato. How much difference is that making in his performance?
Well, you know, he had a good year last year. So, but hopefully, putting guys around him is going to help him even better. You know, Sam's a very accurate thrower. You know, I charted every one of his throws throughout OTAs, the percentages he's had in all the different areas of field, from behind the line to the 0-10, 10-20, 30+. And he's done an outstanding job all spring. So, you know, it's got to make him a lot more comfortable to know the guys coming in here. And I know I have a much better relationship with him at this point in time than I did when he came in a year ago, obviously. So, it's been really good, and we're hoping that it continues to stay that way.
How's your backup quarterback situation working out?
Yeah, it's going to be a good battle between Tyler Heinicke and Case Keenum. And then whenever Teddy can get back, that'll go from there. But those two guys all had good days, and then they had some bad days, and then obviously Teddy's a remarkable player, and so we're hoping to get him back soon too.
Okay, wide receivers, are you better than you were last year?
Well, that'll be hard to tell. I think the big test for these guys are going to come when we get into the bump and run, which we haven't been able to do this spring. Treadwell's had a good spring. Jarius Wright's had a really good spring this spring. But, at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, we know about Thielen. We know about Diggs. These guys are going to have to learn about playing bump and run. So when that happens, that'll be the true test. They'll have to make contested catches, and that's where it's going to end up with, and we had Michael Floyd, and hopefully that thing turns out the right way, but we don't know.
Mike, you let go of Armstrong, the quarterback that we saw from Nebraska that came up here, and you tried him as a safety. What is it that makes it? Is it real difficult for a player like that, even athletic, to change positions and get on an NFL roster?
Well, it is, Mike. It just takes a while. And that's one of the positions we need to continue to look for players, in my opinion. So the biggest thing is, he's a truly a redshirt candidate guy, and, he's a great kid and worked hard, but it's just really difficult, and especially when you get to a position where, you don't have a whole bunch of depth anyway, where you have to give these other guys a lot of reps, and so you can't spend a lot of time on really a redshirt guy at this particular point in time. But I like a lot of things he did athletically. He's a good kid. He's just so far away that it'll be a long ways away.
Mike, when you talked to Dunkers, you told a story that I'd never heard before, how Dallas practiced for Randy Moss, and the outcome probably wasn't what you desired, but I never heard of putting a guy two steps offside.
Yeah, well, he was so fast and got on top of the DB so fast that we always lined up the wide receiver two yards offsides, so the DBs would get a chance to figure out how fast he was going to go. But that obviously didn't help us all that much either.
Not on Thanksgiving. What was it, Thanksgiving Day that year?
Yeah, that Thanksgiving Day was a bad day for me.
Sam Bradford was talking the other day about how you and he grew closer actually while you were in Kentucky monitoring OTAs from afar, and you'd text him every day to tell him what defenses were trying to do. But he talked about how your relationship was enhanced through that process and that communication process. What is a head coach and a quarterback? What is that relationship got to be like?
Well, I think it's got to be a great relationship. And that's part of it with, me spending so much time on the defense. I wasn't able to get around him near as much as probably I needed to, especially last year. But, I made it a point to go down and see him in Oklahoma when this offseason I went down there and we had dinner and we talked about some of the things that I thought he could do better, some of the things that he felt like we should be doing offensively. And, just get communication so we kind of get a little bit closer, we can communicate. And then when I was in Texas, I had a lot more time, obviously, so I'm sitting down there watching tape. And he ended up, I text him, and then he texts me the next day. Or, if I didn't, he texts me and says, hey, what did you see today at practice? And, I'd tell him some of the things. But, I thought it went good. And then when I got back, it just kind of continued to grow from there. We'd go through these situations in practice, and I'd call him over, and I'd ask him, hey, did you see this? What happened here? Did you notice what this guy was doing and that guy was doing? And, here's a situation. Would you have used a timeout here? Or, can we get the play run in this situation? So I think all that was really good, to be honest with you.
Who's going to replace Greenway at linebacker?
Pardon me?
Who's going to replace Greenway at linebacker?
Yeah, it's a good question. Emmanuel Lamour he missed most of this spring with a hamstring, and Edmund Robinson, he had probably two and a half really good weeks, and he had one week that wasn't so good. But Edmund's a very good athlete. He's big. He needs some more confidence in himself. I think sometimes he second guesses himself. But this kid's got a chance to be a good player. I love I love his size, his speed, his physicality, and he just needs to turn it loose. You know, the other guy we looked at a little bit is Ben Gideon. You know, we drafted him as a middle linebacker, but, you know, this kid's an instinctive, tough, old-school guy that is going to go make a lot of plays. I love the way he played at Michigan and the way he played in college. And so we're going to give him some looks at it, too, and we'll just kind of see where it goes. But, you know, at this point in time, I'd say it's probably one of those three guys.
Mr. Zimmer, thank you very much for taking time off, and we'll get you a couple more certificates. Thanks for appearing on our show.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay. Thanks. Happy Father's Day, everyone.
All right, that's Mike Zimmer back with more right after this. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. Mike, Max, Dave, Mona, and Sid Hartman. This is kind of an interesting angle. Peter King, one of the lead writers of Sports Illustrated, someone that Sid Hartman knows. And as observed from afar, your relationship with Randy Moss, Sid, and Peter King joins us right now. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Sid, say hi to Peter King.
Peter King, always a pleasure to visit with you. You've been a great friend, also with my son. My relations with Randy Moss were good from the start. The Vikings, when they took him, Dennis Green defied everybody else who didn't want him. Jerry Jones was going to take him, and he didn't take him. He regretted it a lot. But I had a great relationship with Moss. He, without doubt, was one of the greatest players the Vikings had. One day, he said something to me. He says, "I play when I want to play." And all the other writers went to him and said, "Randy, you never would say anything like that." He says, "I told Sid exactly that. He did not talk to any of the writers except to me." And he came up here, and we had a great relations again when he was up here. But this guy, the biggest mistake the Vikings ever made was trading him. But Nick Holmes didn't want to pay the money, so he traded him for a draft choice that turned out to be a complete flop, a guy by the name of Williamson. Now, what else I can tell you about my relationship with Zoss is I don't know.
Well, Sid, let me. I do want to ask you, here's my one question. I think I wonder this about your relationship with so many of the athletes who you've covered. You're 57 years older than Randy Moss, okay? You come from a totally different life than Randy Moss came from. So how is it the other day when I'm talking to Randy Moss, he says, "Hey, I love Sid." I mean, how is it that you can have that kind of relationship with Moss and with other players like that who are so much younger and from such a different place in the world that you're from?
Peter, I'm going to rephrase that for Sid, who can hear studio guests better than on the air.
Okay.
Sid, what Peter's asking is, you know, there's a wide range in age differences between you and Randy and some of the other athletes that you cover. How can, despite all those generations, you have such a relationship with a player like Randy Moss?
I don't know. I can't explain that. It just worked out real good. That's all. I mean, he was great for me. That's all I know.
But in general, these guys gravitate to you, and they like you, even though you come from completely different backgrounds. How do you explain that? You didn't play sports. You grew up in North Minneapolis. As Peter alluded to, you're 57 years older than Moss and others. How do you connect with them?
I can't explain that. It just worked out from day one when he came here. A lot of writers were ripping him and ripping his background. The guy went to Notre Dame, and he got kicked out of Notre Dame. He went to Marshall, and he turned out to be a great player. But nobody expected when he had a good career at Marshall. Marshall is kind of a small school, but he came here. And all of a sudden, he just turned sensational. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, Peter, I'm not sure that's what you're looking for, but...
No, it's okay. That's fine. You know, and I guess the one other thing that when I talked to Moss the other day, the one other thing is he just said, and a lot of people will be surprised about this. I asked him the same question. What is it about your relationship with Sid? And he said, hey, respect your elders. And to me, Randy Moss, you know, has really grown up over the last few years. I wonder if Sid could has seen that in Moss and what he thinks of how Randy Moss has grown over the years.
Go ahead.
He was just saying that Randy Moss is a different Randy Moss today than when he first got here. Have you seen him grow up and mature? Is he when you saw him the other day, is he a much different man now than when you first met him?
Well, I think he's a lot different. He walked off the field that one game. Was it Green Bay? I forgot. I think ESPN changed his life. I think ESPN hired him, and fortunately, they laid off a lot of guys, but he was not one of them they laid off. They think he's one of their stars, and he's a different guy. He did some great things here in town. There was a kid's school that he contributed tons of money to, and he was a lot better here than the media made of him.
So, Peter, I'm not sure that that satisfies what you're looking for.
Good.
Is this special, Peter, or are you just calling every 97-year-old commentator on the radio this morning?
Well, I find it, and I think everybody in our business finds it hard to believe. We all think we're going to wake up one day and we're going to read Sid Hartman is retired or, you know, something with Sid Hartman. And every day, either there's a column or a talk show or something. I mean, Sid just, he's the Energizer Bunny. And I wrote a tweet the other day where I said, I have been a sports writer for 37 years. And Sid Hartman is 37 years older than I am.
Yeah.
And he's still working.
Give us some national perspective on Sid Hartman, Peter King, because we get to know him so well.
I got to jump in. Peter, I hope we can hold you. We got to take a quick break here, but I want to hear the answer to Mike's question. So we're talking to Peter King. We'll make this show. We'll be right back. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. Sorry for the interruption. Peter King, you were just starting to make a comment about Sid, and I want to make sure that we had that.
Yeah, Peter, the question you said was national perspective on Sid Hartman. We see him locally here, and he's our icon. They got a statue for him, all those things. But how is he perceived nationally?
Well, I think everybody sort of looks at him as somebody who, you know, really honors the business by continuing to report well into his 90s. And it would be one thing if it was, let's say, you know, his writing was just sort of the meanderings of an old guy with no reporting or anything like that. But, I mean, you know, he got a great interview with Randy Moss the day that his number is retired and he's going into the Ring of Honor. I have great admiration for people who don't mail it in, who don't just hang on to collect a paycheck. And I think Sid's a great example for people in our business who if you want to keep working, great. That's fantastic. But if you do keep working, work. And that's what Sid does.
And he's got a big smile on his face. His hearing fades once in a while, but he heard that loud and clear, David.
Hey, Peter, we thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for your kind words. I sure appreciate your longtime friendship. And my son has a great relationship with you. Call him up. He calls you several times. So thank you for everything.
Hey, you're welcome, Sid. I'm years of doing this. And as I just tweeted, I'm 60, you're 97, and I have a feeling I'm probably going to retire before you do.
well, a lot of people have tried to top him, and they don't. You're right. Peter, thank you.
We made a note of that this day. We'll be watching. All right, that's Peter
King.
Take
care, guys. Thank you.
We'll take a quick break here. Come back, talk to Tom Thibodeau about the NBA draft right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, we are back. We're hoping to connect with Tom Thibodeau in the next couple of minutes. Obviously, the NBA draft, a big story coming up this week. That draft will come up on Thursday. Sid, right now, if you had to put the odds on it, do you think they will make a trade or actually wind up drafting somebody?
I think they'll make a deal. I think they'll try and get some kind of a player with experience and trade the draft choice. But you never know what they're going to do. They got the seven picks in the draft, seventh in the first round. The big interest, big thing, big question to my mind is why they keep on talking about trading Rubio. I think Rubio's one of the greatest assets they got, and they came close to making a trade with the Knicks. And keep on hearing rumors about that trade, but. They'll get a good player. This is a sensational draft.
Sid, when you were running the Lakers, was your best trade one you almost made when you almost got Bill Russell? Would that have been the best trade you ever made?
Best trade I ever made was Clyde Lovellet of Kansas came out of was going to play with Phil 66.
Yep.
We already had a great center in Mikan, and nobody else drafted him because he didn't think they could sign him because they thought he'd go with Phillips 66, who had a great amateur basketball team. So when I took him, when it came to our choice, the last pick in the draft, I says, the Lakers take Clyde Lovellet of Kansas. And all of a sudden they called a
special meeting.
And it didn't mean for a while, and they wanted to find a rule where we could not get Clavel.
Didn't work, though.
But they couldn't do anything about it. And we eventually didn't sign him the first year, but we signed him the second year, and he didn't turn out that great. He wasn't going to play much anyway.
What was the big deal?
Well, at the time, it was. You know what? While we're waiting to get old Tom Thibodeau, let's listen. We had that Randy Moss interview. We talked about it twice so far in the show. Let's listen in on Sid's interview with Randy Moss.
Ring of Honor, what are you going to say when you get up before that 65,000 people who are going to cheer the heck out of you because you were probably the most popular player here in years?
I think it's just more to definitely just give recognition to, you know, teammates, coaches, Coach Green, of course, you know, Rob Brzezinski, he was here, Red McCombs was the owner here, and then the fans, of course. I think for a day like it, it's really not my day. I think it's just for a day for everybody just to enjoy that day. So, you know, I've always been a humble person. I've been appreciative my whole life, been thankful. So I think it's just a day to give thanks to everybody that helped me get to where I'm at.
Dennis Green was a big guy for you. He drafted you when people didn't draft you, and he played you and made you probably the greatest wide receiver ever. And now you go in the Ring of Honor. Too bad Dennis Green is around to see that.
I owe him a lot, man. I mean, to the Green family, I don't think a lot of people, meaning the fans, see it, really understand how much work and sacrifice goes into this game. Front office people, media, everybody that's affiliated with a professional sporting team, I don't think the people on the outside looking in really understands, you know, how hard it is to be able to get up each and every day and do this. And for Coach Green to be able to give me this opportunity, like you said, a lot of people passed on me. A lot of people passed on me for the wrong reasons. I understand the business, but Coach Green saw something in me. One, he saw something in me as a young man, and number two, he saw something in me that he knew that could help this team and this organization. So knowing that he's gone, God rest his soul, man, that's one of those nights, Sid, where you know, there's a lot of people I got to thank, man. It's not my night. I mean, I know my name. I know the jersey that I wore is going up, you know, in the Ring of Honor, man. But for a night like that, man, I wouldn't be there. There's a lot of people that I owe respect and owe some thanks to be there.
I was very close to him. He didn't want to trade you. Red McCombs didn't want to trade you, didn't want to pay you. And Green actually quit on kind of that deal. Your deal, your trade made him quit. That shows you what he thought of you.
He was a very, very, very loyal man. And in the game of professional sports, there is no loyalty. But you do have those type of guys, those coaches that really are loyal to their players. And like I say, man, it's a business. You know, Red McCombs, you know, was a businessman. You know, he felt it was the right move. Still to this day, I still don't even know why I left here. I always wanted to retire a Viking. I wanted to play. I played 14 years in the league. I wish I could have spent my 14 years here. But like you said, Sid, just being able to come back, to look at the memories, to see how far I've grown, you know, to see that you're still doing your job. You know, those times were great, man. I definitely won't forget them. But at the same time, man, there are a lot of great people that I met along the way.
As a first-year player, you were Rookie of the Year, ranked second in NFL yards. How does that you think of? Talk about that.
That's hard work, man. I mean, because, you know, Sid, one of the biggest questions or knocks about me was I'm a basketball player. I'm talented. But is he going to be able to fit on this level? These are grown men here. These guys are bigger than him, stronger than him. The only thing that I have going for me is my speed, you know, but nobody ever said anything about football IQ, you know, and I really held my hat on understanding the game, studying the game, understanding how the game moves, how it slows down, how it speeds up. So I think a lot of the intangibles of a lot of players still to this day are lacking. But when I came into the league, man, like I told you earlier, man, I've been playing football since I was 6 years old. So all the little things that I picked up along the way, the only thing I needed to do was to learn how to do them on a professional level. And when I was able to learn how to do them on a professional level, success started to happen.
Well, you had 156 touchdowns, and you had 41 100-yard games. What a record.
That's special, man. And you know, I think when you look at, you know, 100-yard games, like I said, man, there's some guys that I played with, man, that I still remember. I mean, my players that I love playing with. I love playing with Jim Kleinsaucer. I love playing, you know, with Hall of Famer Randall McDaniels. I love seeing John Randall on the other end going back and going to sack Brett Favre. You know, there's a lot of guys that, you know, that I love watch throughout my career, even as teammates. And now, you know, when I left, still followed those guys. And now that we're all retired, we still try to keep in contact with one another, just try to find out what one another is doing. But like I say, man, it was definitely some great memories. The Metrodome, that's my stadium, that's my dome. I know they got a new stadium, but like I said, man, I was made in that Metrodome, man. There's a lot of great memories in there. So now that I'm retired, Sid, you know, you've seen it all. You've seen a lot of players. And one thing that I hope that I was able to do is entertain. And that's because that's what we're there to do.
Is there one game that you always remember?
I think my number one game that I remember is going to have to be my rookie year, Green Bay. When we weren't supposed to win, the Green Bay Packers were the NFC Central, so we got it. They were the favorites to win it. So then, once we were able to go up there and win in Green Bay, it was definitely an accomplishment and definitely a memory that I'll take with me forever. But I think in the Metrodome, I think it would have to be all the Green Bay games in the Metrodome, man, because I've never seen a stadium shift the way it shifted when the Green Bay Packers would come in. It's kind of like they have half of their fans in the stadium. Well, where's our fans at? So I've always liked competing against Green Bay Packers, especially going out and competing against Brett Favre, man. Those are great memories.
Five Pro Bowls. That must make you happy.
Five Pro Bowls. I mean, Sid, I all the accomplishments, the accolades and stuff like that, man, comes with it. I mean, I enjoyed meeting people. I enjoyed meeting other people's family, flying to Hawaii, seeing Hawaii. But, see, to boil everything down in a nutshell, man, all I wanted to do was just love to play the game of football. I just love football. That's all I ever wanted to do, man. And I think that I might have stepped on a few people's toes by doing that, man. And I think that when you look at the passion that other players carry on their shoulder, that's the same passion I carried on mine. I don't know how I made it look or whatnot, but Sid, I've always loved playing the game of football. And just going out in front of 65,000 fans, 70, 75,000 fans, man, that was just something that I had to grow to love. And that's just playing on Sundays, man. It's something I'll miss.
All right, that Randy Moss, some interesting thoughts. I guess no surprise there on what his favorite, what he thought his best game was. I think most people in the audience would have come up with the same one. All right, time for a break. We'll take a break. I will tell you that in Erin Hills, it was raining for a little while for the U.S. Open. Umbrellas seem to be put away. Still a lot windier than it's been the other days, but blue skies starting to come out. Obviously, all the best players have not teed off yet. That will happen, not the best players, but that will happen this afternoon as they get into the leaderboard. We'll be back right after this. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, with Dave, and with Mike. All right, we are back. One of the big stories this week is the NBA draft coming up Thursday night. Joining us right now, the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Sid. Say good morning to Tom Thibodeau.
Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, Sid. How are you?
I suppose you're very busy this year.
Yeah.
What are the odds you might trade up or down rather than take the draft choice?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of possibilities. We're getting a lot of interest in our pick. But we also feel there will be good players available that can get into the rotation right away. So we're still weighing all our options. But you can tell it's one of the best drafts in many years. It's one of the deepest. So we're looking forward to it.
Okay. Is it a good draft?
Yes, we think so. Oftentimes you can tell by the calls that you're getting. And there's a lot of teams that are trying to get into the top 10. And so when you look at the players that are available, there's probably 10 really good players, and there'll probably be even more than that, as it unfolds. So we're looking forward to it.
Is the salary cap in your favor in terms of if you move a pick for a veteran player? Is that a difficult thing to navigate?
Well, we have great flexibility because of where we are with the cap. And then obviously we have a lot of space, and we're in a good position there. And then because of the interest in the pick, it does give us great flexibility to either keep it, move down to maybe add another player that could be in the rotation, and trade picks. So there are a lot of options that are available, and that's sort of what we're weighing through. Whether we keep the pick, whether we decide we'd like to move up, or if we like to move back and get another player in addition to what we have. So we think we're in a good spot.
Tom, is the Pekovic money still, does it figure in, or has that now run out?
Yeah, it's probably, we're getting pretty close to the end there. And so hopefully we'll find out in a very short while, what's there. It's unfortunate, and obviously, Peck has dealt with injuries for a long time now, and when he played, he was terrific, and sometimes that happens.
How come the Celtics made that trade with the 76ers?
No,
it's kind of a strange trade.
It is, but it isn't from this standpoint, Sid. There's if Danny likes the person that'll be available at three, and there's not a big difference between, say, the top three, then you making that move to add more assets makes sense. Now, if you study what he's done, he's really collected a lot of first-round draft picks. And so that could set up his flexibility to make another trade down the road or keep him. He's done a good job with that. Danny's not afraid. If he likes a player, that's the player he's going with, regardless of if someone else doesn't think that person should be drafted in that position. That's not how Danny operates. He takes the best player that he feels will help the team, and if he could add assets, he'll do that as well.
Chris Dunn,
the Celtics certainly have put together a number of number one draft choices, right?
They really have. If you look at the next four years, they're they have a number of first-round picks. And so, and I think that's part of, you know, Danny's planning in going forward because of what you're, you know, what you're going to have to pay players, and then also to have players that are on rookie-scale contracts. You need the combination of the two, and Danny's always operated that way. When he's been rebuilding, he tries to make moves where he can get draft picks, and then he'll couple the draft picks with, you know, players that he feels can maybe help get him a superstar.
Tom, you took Chris Dunn last year at this juncture. What do you put him on for an off-season program, and how do you project minutes and what he can do this
next
year?
Yeah, no, he's been terrific. He's been in right from the end of the season. He's in every day, oftentimes twice a day. He's worked extremely hard, so we're looking forward to the second season. I think he learned a lot from the first season. Like most rookies, he had some really good moments. He had some moments in which he feels he could have done better, and it was a learning year for him. So we're excited about his future.
Tom Thibodeau, thank you very much for bringing in the show. We'll get your merge certificate. Good luck in the draft.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Tom Thibodeau, we'll be watching that draft. That's Thursday night. Final break here. We'll come back, wrap things up right after this. You're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we are back. For those of you who joined us mid-show, I did want to use some of the news that we opened with, and that was in the, well, like 3 minutes after we went on the air. The Wild announced the players who would be exposed in the expansion draft to Las Vegas. The three names that I think people will be most interested in who wound up on the exposure list are Dumba, Scandella, and Eric Staal. It was always a question. I think the one name people were looking at was Zucker and whether or not he'd be on the list, because it made a lot of sense. I've been trying to read the papers in Las Vegas. They were excited about his perhaps coming back to Las Vegas. Well, that's not going to happen, but they did expose some good players. We want to thank our guest today, Mike. We were talking off mic there a little bit before we went on. I can't remember when we've had a broader assortment of people.
This is an all-star lineup today.
I mean, we started out with Jake Unsell and how much fun it was for Jake to win the Stanley Cup, and he hadn't decided yet. He said what he's going to do with the cup on his day with the cup. Then Viking rookie Rodney Adams, and then Derek Falvey, who talked about the draft a little bit, where the players are going to start. The high school players will start a little bit lower than the college players, but he was excited about that. Talked a little bit about the shortage of pitching in the major leagues today. Not only the Twins going through these auditions as they've been doing so far in this Cleveland series. Ahmad Rashad, how much fun is it to talk to Ahmad Rashad? We had Ahmad on live talking about how truly honored he was to be in the Hall of Fame, and how if it were not for Fran Tarkenton, he would not have made it with the Minnesota Vikings. They're ready to let him go because he was an injury risk. PJ Fleck talking about the fact that the players are working out on their own. He's impressed with what he's seen so far, and those two scholarships. Well, he's not sure if they're going to use those scholarships. He's got a couple of kids to find out if they can make it academically. Joe Mauer, Joe makes infrequent appearances on this show, talked about the fact that why all the balls maybe are flying out of Target Field so far this year. Mike Zimmer, Mike's on a two-week hiatus from pro football, about the only one they have in the year anymore. He's at his farm in Kentucky. He's good enough to talk to us about what he liked in minicamp. Peter King calling in to talk to Sid Hartman. He's already tweeted some nice things about Sid and the work he does. Randy Moss and his reflections on the Ring of Honor. And then Tom Thibodeau talking about what the Timberwolves are likely doing Thursday's draft. Thank you for your text messages. Sorry we didn't get your phone calls. We'll do that next week. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.